This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, my friends. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon at Weather Forecast. Nice. We're headed to the 70s, low 70s for today. A current temperature 59, about to be 60 degrees at any time. On Fox News, you heard an awful lot. I would say more than half of that radio newscast was Israel. Very difficult to do, and I don't mean to be talking just about myself, but it is difficult to do a show like this, which is meant to be all local and mainly fun, while you have a huge tragic news event going on at the same time. And I believe that even though the show is supposed to be fun and local, that you cannot go through life ignoring the enormity of that tragedy going on in the Middle East. It's difficult, you know, for me, because it's almost my religion to start people's days off with a good positive attitude. And it's very powerful when you're broadcasting in the morning to put people in that frame of mind so that they have a good day. So when I was at Channel 2, I did, yes, a lot of humor aside from the serious stories. I thought it was important. Channel 2 thought differently. That's all right. But in this morning radio, you know, I hesitate to bring it up, but it's important to bring it up, because it's top of mind right now. The latest on Israel is, this week, the FBI director testified at a Senate panel this week that anti-Semitism in the U.S. has hit historic levels. He says the threat level has gone from AOC to Mel Gibson. But as for the ground war, Israeli soldiers are going building to building, door to door in Gaza, hoping to root out Hamas supporting radicals. And if it works there, they're going to try Harvard next. Really, these protests, I got to say, when you see these big pro-Palestinian demonstrations like in New York and Michigan and California or all across America, when you see those mad, angry signs hating on the Jews, I just want you to know there, let's be honest, there is not one Republican voter in that mix, right? There's not a Trump voter in that crowd. When the media keeps trying to match anti-Semitism to conservatives, remember, it's militant Islam represented by Democrats like AOC and Omar and Rashid Tlaib, and by colleges that teach and welcome that so-called progressive theory with open arms. And by the way, has anybody noticed how Democrats and college presidents suddenly get a lot more concerned about anti-Semitism when they're reminded of the huge role that Jewish donors play in supporting their institutions? When the college people were protesting against Israel and yelling anti-Semitic things about Jews, the college presidents didn't have a problem with that until the donors. I know, it's a funny thing, isn't it? A funny thing how sensitized we become when money's involved. Anyway, we have received lectures from both the president and indirectly by cable news reminding us not to be bigots, right? Don't you be anti-Semites. Don't you be Islamophobes. There's like a condescending wagging of the finger, and I like to say that I'm kind of offended by that, because the United States of America is the most tolerant society on the face of the earth, in spite of earnest efforts by a lot of politicians and academics to divide us. We've got this cult of identity going on where everybody's got to belong to some persecuted subgroup and be in opposition at the larger society and everybody in it, right? They're working overtime, I feel, to tear us away from shared heritage and from our shared identity. But in spite of that, we remain just what our culture leads us to be. A people who believe, especially in Nevada, of live and let live. Who, as a founding concept, have love your neighbor as you love yourself as part of our national identity. And I know that all the professors and politicians and all the pundits that are telling you that this is a nation of haters, I want to say bullcrap, right? The best nation on earth to be a Jewish person is the United States of America. The best nation on earth to be a Muslim person is the United States of America. In Israel, there is a favoritism toward the Jews. In the Muslim world, there is favoritism toward the Muslims. But if you just want to live in a place where you're left to live your life the way that you want and pursue your talents and your goals and your happiness in life, this is the place, right? Are there a few jerks out there? Yes. We have more than 300 million people in this country. And judge us not from the random exemption to our vast nation that the media loves to play up. We are a largely Christian nation. That's the plurality religion in the United States. And a Jewish person is treated better in our country than a Christian person is treated in Israel. I don't say that to put down Israel. And Muslim people are treated better here than they're treated in any Muslim nation. We're not the jerks. We are still liberty's torch, in spite of what they teach in school, in spite of what they tell you from the White House, in spite of what CNN and MSNBC say, as they highlight every little far-right extreme act, which supposedly represents our American culture. Most of this is just part of their narrative, trying to create this thought that, America's a bad, wicked place. It's not. If everybody tried to F with a mosque or a synagogue, I think Joe and Betty America would denounce what happened and defend the people who worship there, right? Period. End of story. And so I understand from one political perspective how politicians and talking heads want everything to come back to racist Americans and how they're a bunch of jerks. But to take that road, you have to leave this truth. And the truth is, and I proudly declare it, is while we are an imperfect nation, we're a whole lot better than almost all the rest of them. And while, yeah, we have turned loose of our traditional values and we've been led down the rosy path by mostly those politicians who now condemn us, in the United States of America, your neighbor is overwhelmingly your neighbor. And in the United States of America, if you're a religious minority, you're going to be treated better than religious minorities in any other part of the world. Period. End of story. In France, one of the most progressive nations on earth, a Muslim lady can't walk down the street wearing the head cover, the hijab, because in France, it's against the law. Religious clothing against the law. You can't imagine that in America, but that's how it is in a modern democracy overseas. In Berlin, an advisory from City Hall tells Jewish men not to wear their yarmulke because the city can't guarantee they're going to be safe. Again, someone targeted for violence because of an article of religious clothing? How effed up is that? That's not in America. That's in Germany and France, the modern progressive democracies. It's not us. It's them. And so, again, you and I always strive to do better, I hope, to truly love our neighbor and to be of use and benefit and service to other people. But if anybody wants to give you a lecture about how Americans are a bunch of mouth-breathing Neanderthals, those people are lying to you. And while, yes, we as a country have an awful lot to do to get back to being who we used to be, to try to regain some of the values that allowed us to be a blessed nation, we still, even in our fallen down state right now, we hold liberty's torch and the torch of love for your neighbor, wherever they come from, a whole lot higher than anybody else on God's green earth. And if your religion requires you to hate someone, I say it's time to find a new religion. But whatever the colleges say, whatever the media says about this being a hateful country, don't buy it. Don't buy it. 11:17 is our time. Our phone lines are open on anything. Okay, so we just talked, I talked about Israel and the Middle East. Also was asking for your recommendations on security cameras because I'm looking to put security cameras on the house, and I don't bring this up just for my benefit. I know a lot of people, especially seniors, who are thinking of doing the same thing. I mean, more than half of the houses on a street don't have them, but they are thinking about them. And what was the other topic? Oh, yeah. Did we really get more snow in the old days than what we're getting now? And how much snow do you think we're going to get this year? All that kind of stuff that I've been talking about from the top of my head. 884-9910 is our phone number. We're going to take a break and be back in a few minutes. My name is John Potter. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time, 11:17.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Your local chatterbox here, John Potter. 884-9910 is our phone number. Lots of topics today. So let's go to the phones. Michael, calling from Reno. Michael, good morning. I'm glad you called.
Hey, Mr. John Potter. How are you doing, sir? Yeah. I just wanted to say, all the news and all that stuff. We need some happy stuff here on Saturday mornings, like the weather, how to grow plants, cactus, especially recipes.
I got what you're saying.
I listen to you every Saturday morning, and yes. I really like your show. And I'm just reaching out to everybody and our listening viewer. So any suggestions? Oh, one more thing. And I think we're going to have a snowstorm like we did last year. And everybody, especially the women, please buy four-wheel drive. Do not buy front-wheel drive because you'll get in a heap of mess in the snow. That's all I wanted to say. And God bless everybody. And God bless you, John.
Michael, how long have you lived in the area? Oh, we lost him. Okay. Yeah, that was a topic we brought up an hour ago about how much snow are we going to get. Care to make a prediction? And again, I'm not one of those climate change, global warming types of people. I don't believe a belching cow or your car or your stove is changing the planet, but I do believe that the climate perpetually changes on its own. If you widen out and look over a longer term or longer period, you'll see climate is supposed to change. But I think now, these days, people think it's supposed to stay the same, apparently. No, it doesn't. And I brought up when I moved here in 78, we had no snow that I can remember at all. In 78, 79, I think we got a little, there was really none in 80 either. We got a little bit in 81, and then I think 82 was a big year for snow, back when they had the horse-drawn carriages pulling the sled, which through Old Southwest, which apparently I'm the only one who remembers this. It was not a dream I had. I do remember that. But as for the serious topics, yeah, I know it's hard for me to bring that up, but it's supposed to be a fun show and everything, but Fox News spent most of their newscast talking about the situation in the Middle East. And I do have a chip on my shoulder sometimes because I think that a certain political philosophy, it's called progressivism in America. By the way, it's Marxism elsewhere, has insinuated itself into our higher education system, talking about those protests against Israel at America's colleges, which is shocking to see, and also into our news media, into our entertainment system, and lately even into our corporate system. It's like these folks are reading off the same sheet of music with progressivism. They have the same political and cultural objective. They're preaching the same gospel. And suddenly, if we have an alternate view, instead of correctly being labeled conservative, we're now branded as extreme right or racist or hard right or Trumper or fascist. And the sad thing is, the big three news media in America is becoming even less trusted than it was before. Social media has taken over, and audiences for what the news media produces, especially the old-time newspapers and TV networks, has plummeted. If you look at the wars America has won, like the Revolutionary War, we won because we could out-manufacture our enemies. We beat the South because we had better factories and more railroads and because God was on our side. We won World War II because we had deeper pockets and more modern factories and because technologically we're able to adapt faster than even the Germans. We are not a manufacturing power today. We're a nation dependent for most of our necessities from foreign countries, most notably China, which in all likelihood would be our prime adversary should something go wrong. The nations we are cursing, both Russia and Iran, are nations which have an alliance with China. As the president of the United States was cursing Vladimir Putin, the leader of China was embracing him. So we're deficient in manufacturing. And also World War II, we had credit like nobody's business. And right now, we're an insolvent government sustained by almost insane debt. Insolvent as of right now, in a time of peace, we spend $2 for every dollar we take in on taxes. And we borrow vast amounts of money, which enslave us to the people we borrowed it from. And the largest single source of borrowed money in our government economy comes from China, which I remind you, that's our prime adversary. The Chinese military, as it trains exclusively to fight American forces. Yeah, that's what they do in their training. It's Navy trains on how to attack and sink American ships. It's Air Force trains on how to attack and down American aircraft and bomb American cities. There is a situation where China is, to its credit, built up far more influence and power in the world than the United States has. And I remember reading, it must have been 20 years ago, how China construction crews were out there building new roads for Africa for goodwill and also with an eye toward Africa's natural resources. Doing these favors for countries and building things for them, at the same time creating heavy debt for those countries owed to China. China has much of Latin America, Africa, and Asia in its pocket. And so you have the United States, which is just about broke, which has a very limited manufacturing base now, whose dominant political party is doing everything to destabilize its domestic energy production. The USA has almost nothing new you need going into a war. And furthermore, the United States faces a world automatically destabilized by the loss of American influence and power. And the U.S. is led by an administration, by a president who has ignored and devalued the strength of our military and our relations with the world. This withdrawal from Afghanistan is why Putin felt emboldened enough to go to Ukraine. And that retreat is why Iran felt confident enough to send Hamas into Israel. They do not consider the U.S. a threat because they do not consider Joe Biden to be confident. These are just realities. We're further a society in the United States which has an escalating rate of social and cultural decay. Education is at a low. We increasingly, as we morph into a service economy, we're a nation of non-producers. We consume, not so much produce. And we've also been subjected to a years-long effort by people who are enemies of our country to divide us, to turn us away from each other. And whether it's the so-called news people who incite and play up our differences or the progressive agendas in schools and business, we're fed a steadily diet of disunion, and we have been taught not to see ourselves as Americans, but as part of some oppressed group and hostile to other groups around us. And if there were a war and there were times to mobilize an army, we're a population of young people who have been poorly educated, addled by staring at screens. 70% of Americans today of military age can't pass the physical test to get into the military. Brought this up 2 weeks ago. The same test which, during the time of World War II, 95% of Americans could pass. So the real issue for America right now is we need to be smart, or World War III will be over with us in the loser pile. Am I psycho for thinking that? I tell you, nobody believes more in America than I do. I was born and brought up with that love, and I carry the torch for our country today in all that I say and do. I believe in American culture before people began changing it. But I believe the war on America and the war on American culture has been unrelenting. I could be full of crap, but I'd like to hear your reaction and response at 884-9910. Or talk to me and everybody else thinking of getting a security camera at your home. What do you recommend? And tell us what to purchase, because everybody I know is thinking of getting one of those things. And yeah, we're talking climate too, or any other local issue. 884-9910 is our number. Got a break for Fox News. Sorry I went on and on like I was on a podium. I'm sorry. I have sentences that never end, I guess. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter. FM News Talk Time. Going to break for Fox News. FM News Talk Time, 11:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Hi, welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Speaking of somebody I was asking, I'd be happy to do a fun topic, and I got a text from somebody who says, how about doing, because I guess this person, the text is from their car, they were a passenger, not a driver. Why don't you do the weirdest thing, the strangest thing, or the worst thing you saw while driving? Because apparently this gentleman witnessed a female driver putting on makeup while driving just now. I don't know where this was. I don't know if that's a fun topic or not. This is a pretty horrifying topic, but
it is. I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 3 or 4 years ago, the city of Reno, I can't remember if they upheld it or not, put in a city ordinance that in the city of Reno, you're not allowed to have a dog in your lap if you're a driver, not allowed to eat your lunch while you're driving, not allowed. It was not part of the phone law, but it was its own separate thing for the city. No eating, no animals on your lap. There was something else, but I don't know if they've been enforcing that at all.
I would say no.
Right.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing to pass these laws, but I see very little enforcement going on. But I got to say, I did not know that they have these rules in Reno, that they have these laws in Reno. No animal in your lap.
Yeah, like okay. Your dog sitting on your lap looking out, breathing out the window. Yeah. Your cats wouldn't do that. They'd be gone.
But, no. They keep their space from humans. Wow, that's interesting. Where is the enforcement nowadays on anything? I got to say, I've never seen so many people run red lights. I've gone back to driving school lessons now where before, when my light turns green, I look left and I look right before I move.
Left, right, left again.
Yep. Yeah, almost. There's so much of this going on and such. So, yeah, super careful now. I think I'm the only one who drives a speed limit on Mayberry. Yeah.
Well, and here's another thing. The laws for pedestrians are for city and public right-of-ways. They're not paying. They don't have to pay attention to them in parking lots. So, yeah, people walk out. Hey, it's the person who gets its fault because they didn't look or whatever.
Right.
Even though they're in a parking lot. If they get...
Well, that's private property.
It's private. Right. You're right.
Yeah.
But the city can enforce in private property. They can enforce the, handicapped parking spaces, which is another pet peeve of mine, because the striped area next to the parking space,
yeah,
the handicapped space, is not a parking space. That's why it has slashes across it. That is for vehicles that have a side mount ramp for somebody to get a wheelchair out. And then I've seen people park their motorcycles there, so the person who, you know, was trying to get into their vehicle couldn't do so until the person came out 2 hours later and got on their bike and left.
Now, I didn't know about the stripes on the pavement, but don't those spaces usually have a sign signifying that?
Well, the space itself does, but the striping on there does not have a sign. The striping just is to be known. And you can call during Monday through Friday. You can go to the city website, or you can call Reno Direct, and you can ask for code enforcement or parking enforcement to come out and ticket them for being in those places.
Now, I'm not disabled. You are. How prevalent is this? How big of a problem is this, people parking in those spaces?
I see it happen in my apartment complex daily, and I have seen it on, I live right down the street, right around the corner, about 300 feet from a Walmart. It happens in the Walmart parking lot all the time.
Here's a pet peeve I have, and this is back when I lived in apartments. People who drive up to see their friends at apartments, and they pull up and they park in front of the apartment building, and they honk their horn.
They honk their horn, or they've got their headlights on pointing into your bedroom window if you're ground level. Yeah.
I had a huge problem with that because, as you know, my past job, I'd get up at 2:30 in the morning, mm-hmm. and you would have these cars pull up in front of the apartment building, honking their horn to get their buddies out. And one time, it's embarrassing, one time I flew out the front door in my bathrobe and my hair all sticking up and the phone in my hand. And I said, I don't know what I said to the people in this car. It wasn't very gentlemanly. And then, just to inspire them to leave pronto, I went with my phone to the back of their car like I was reading the license plate, and I was faking a 911 call. And, man, these kids, they took off.
They took off, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was acting the fool.
Hey, folks out there in the world, a horn is not a musical instrument for you to be playing. It is actually, if you read your driver's handbook or go online and take the quiz again, it is for emergency use only, not for you to sit and honk and play.
I think, very good, Craig. I think a major problem is impatience, okay? That's why we have the red light runners. And I've noticed the lane changers are out in full force lately. I mean, they skip across two lanes because they keep changing their mind, or they want to get somewhere 20 seconds faster.
Right.
And they will change lanes and change lanes.
I get that all the time with people that pass me and you know, I'm doing the speed limiter 5 miles up. I don't go more than five above, but I'm doing the speed limiter five above. They run up all the way, and then they get to the light, and then I pull up next to them, and I just look
give
at
them. Look.
I give them the look, and then I do my, you know, the little shame fingers, you know, the pointer fingers, you know.
What they do now, somebody was telling me this, the middle finger, that is out. That's outdated. You know what people do now?
Blow them a kiss.
No, they do the thumbs down. The thumbs down is the thing to do now. The middle finger, that's what Grandpa did.
Yeah.
I've
blown kisses, and it really throws the guys off when I do that.
Well, you do that anyway.
Yeah. But, hey, anyway. We did get a text from Renee saying, as far as the red lights, Sheriff, Sparks PD, Reno PD are not giving out tickets, or they rarely are giving out tickets.
Right.
Unless it happens right in front of them and they, you know.
Police cars or county sheriff cars, I've seen them drive right by obvious traffic violations.
Yeah. Well, I've seen them run red lights, zoom up, and the light changes red before, and they're not on a call.
Well, you don't know.
They're going to lunch.
They
have no lights and siren on.
I don't know about
They have no lights and siren. So they're, you know, technically they have to obey the same laws we do.
They are underhanded. But I will say the best example of this, Craig, look how many cars we still have without license plates. You know,
because people couldn't get the DMV appointments to get their new plates for their new car.
That's okay. That to me, don't get me on the DMV.
I know.
It's purely the DMV's fault. Okay. That's another issue. But the fact that we have so many people without license plates now, and they're not being pulled over that I've seen, tells you something. I hate to gripe about stuff like that, but when you're talking driving, you can't help but gripe. 884-9910. Boy, this took off.
Yeah. Well, you know what I noticed with vehicles I haven't heard a lot of?
What?
I'm wondering if they're enforcing the sound ordinances. I haven't heard a lot of the thumpers, the bass.
Yes.
That's down pretty much that I, you know, in the areas I've been driving.
Well, that was my rant 2 weeks ago that you had to put up with about how, as a pedestrian, I can't believe how noisy this city has become. And I can't hear my podcast. It's so loud.
Yeah.
So
something else we talked about.
Right.
Was chicken.
Did I talk about chicken last week?
Chicken sandwich, or not last week? Week before, chicken sandwiches.
Oh,
who had the best?
Yes.
Who doesn't? Remember, I was talking. We that day, literally, as soon as I got off the air, I went over to Burger King and got the original chicken sandwich that we were talking about because it
the
was
long on, one.
The long one, yes. And
I
then they
love
have the
that.
Crispy chicken, but it's the one on the menu that says the original chicken. That's the one.
A name to it. Okay.
Yep.
It's long, folks. It's like half of a sub sandwich, but it's that shape,
and it's
delicious.
Is to die for.
They never put quite enough mayonnaise on it.
You can ask for it.
My wife and I, when we go to Southern Nevada on a trip, we always stop at the Burger King in Tonopah, the best Burger King in the nation. You ask me what the worst is, South Virginia, Reno.
Right across from In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Yep. The one I like is the one I hit on the way here in the morning is... at North Carson Street, right up the street from my bank, right by, was it College Parkway and Carson Street. That one I like. Now, we're getting onto food prices here really quick.
Yeah,
I remember, because in the mornings I would stop and get a ham and cheese egg croissant and an orange juice.
From where?
From Burger King.
Burger King.
On the way to the office. And I'm sitting there, I place the order, I get up there, and for that sandwich and an orange juice, $9. The sandwiches they used to sell, 2 for $4, and now they're $5.98 a piece or something to that effect. It's like, what?
Don't you get the clip coupons in the mail?
I don't.
Because the chicken sandwiches, I think, are 2 for $6 if you have the coupon.
You know, if I got the Burger King app, which I might do because I just realized I was paying $9 for this stuff.
Oh, I love the Burger King app.
You were talking about the Burger King app and McDonald's app a couple of weeks ago, too.
The McDonald's, they got to get their act together. Okay, listen, the milkshake, I'm not talking and griping about the milkshake machines always being broken, but it's ridiculous to me to acquire 6,000 points on the McDonald's app and have it only being good for a little serving of hash browns.
Right.
Not only that, I think I've accumulated about 300,000 points on McDonald's, and I've never gotten to use them because they expire in no time. And I just learned this a couple of days ago when I went to McDonald's. They cannot combine a bonus purchase, which is my 99-cent coffee, with using my points on the hash browns. They can't do the same thing at the same time. They said, well, you got to wait 15 minutes. Ridiculous to use the points on the hash browns. So that's stupid. All right, we got a break here, and then we're into our final segment. So, Craig, interesting input. Thank you. Phone lines open 884-9910. I'm John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1148.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local every Saturday morning with Craig, 9 to noon. Saturdays on these radio stations. Well, look at this, already 63 degrees. Final segment now, 884-9910, number to call. You can bring up anything. I'd like to bring up a topic that I did before, but I did this when the transmitter wasn't working. Remember that, Craig, when the transmitter went off and you told me to keep talking?
Yep, because we were actually going, it was 99.1 was off, but 92.3 was still on and we were still recording it for podcasts, so.
Oh, I didn't know it was still on 92.3.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think most people haven't heard this topic, so I'm going to repeat it again.
That's fine.
Think at the time it was really weird that you were telling me to keep talking and the transmitter was off. But, okay, so I don't know about you folks, but my TV watching lately, I am happily living in black and white. 1964 thereabouts. I've been watching Perry Mason. I've been watching Beverly Hillbillies, which is laugh out loud still.
No matter how many times you watch it. Yep.
That's right. Oh, the first two seasons are belly laughs. Gunsmoke and my wife and I have been, you know, my wife apparently didn't watch any TV growing up. So things like Beverly Hillbillies, Gunsmoke, it's all new to her. So it's like, and I love seeing them again. And we watch The Fugitive. Every week, don't tell me how it ends. Some station out there runs The Fugitive on like 4 a.m. on Sundays or something. Honestly, with such great scripts and plots back then, these shows are like gold. Nobody is cussing and walking around shirtless covered in tattoos on these shows. You see men with manners. You see the golden rule. I've been watching Highway Patrol, Broderick Crawford, Chief Dan Matthews on the TV show Highway Patrol.
Car 54, where are you?
That too. But Highway Patrol, that's another 4 a.m. show, I think, on MeTV. I grew up on that show, and there it is. Still running. Broderick Crawford could roll over his squad car and still keep his hat on. He chased criminals with his suit coat on. And he could hit anyone with his snub-nose 38 from 75 yards. 10-4, 2150 to headquarters. I want a roadblock here, 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 and here.
Are you watching the Rod Sterling?
Yes, Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, yep.
Yep. She'd never seen that before either. It's so great.
We live it every day, John. We lived in the Twilight Zone every day. That's what the media is, the Twilight Zone.
Remember on Highway Patrol, Sergeant Dan would—he sure liked playing with that map on the hood of that DeSoto, and his accuracy with a snub-nose 38 fired at the hip got the bad guy every time. And that 38 would shoot more than 6 bullets when necessary. And the way he talked to crooks, "All right, you lousy slobs." Then he'd end each episode with those wise, catchy safety messages. "The careless driver isn't driving his car, he's aiming it. Leave your blood at the Red Cross, not on the highway. It isn't the car that kills, it's the driver. Clowns belong in the circus, not the highway." It is so funny to see not only lonely California highways on this show with no traffic, but also the patrol cars bouncing up and down like rubber balls. Back then, the suspensions, they had like shock absorbers back then that apparently didn't stabilize the cars very well. They were like these big hulks with plenty of body roll back then. Big old DeSotos and Buicks. Oh, the age of the dinosaurs. Those 55 centuries were monsters. And yeah, back to the outdoor scenes of California back then. Oh my gosh, folks. Two-lane roads, ranch land, and desert as far as the eye could see. Mountains and hills and little 20-room motels and 2-pump gas stations alongside an empty highway. Take me back. And I noticed that the Highway Patrol show had very, very attractive females all wearing push-up bras and tops that were a size short. That and Cops and Robbers, a boy's dream. The Highway Patrol. I remember it like it was yesterday. I enjoy these unhip black and white TV shows like you can't imagine. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care if I sound very old talking about them. I had some. I had a great conversation with some new friends at the class reunion I went to a couple of weeks ago, where everybody was joking about how old we all looked. And at our table, I was asked by a fellow senior, how do I confront age? And I said, I confront age with wonder and terror. Wonder and terror. They ask, what do you do for a living now? I say, my best. I do my very best.
Yeah. Hey, and before we say goodbye to everybody here in a minute, I just wanted everybody that came out last night to the Reno Ice Arena, Reno Ice Raiders game, my sled hockey team, the Reno Ice Sled Hockey Club, we had an exhibition game in front before their Reno Ice Raiders, and then we did a 50-50 drawing. For everybody that came out and did tickets for the 50-50 drawing, we'd like to thank you because that is helping us purchase our travel time, our airlines, and everything else. And we'd like to thank everybody on air right now and say thank you. We raised a lot of money for the team, for our travel team, so we can get to some of these tournaments.
I've heard great things about that Reno Ice. Isn't it great that they built that?
Kevin and the Grant gang and the board of directors, Cam, Joel, all of them, yes. Love them to death.
When's it open to the public?
It's open all the time to the public. There's public
skating
today.
Just in about skates.
In about 2 hours.